Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for granting me and my wife once again to be with you all people. I know pulpit is not a place to explain the personal itinerary, yet the whole last week the Lord was so good to us as we were in Cain, ministering to the people of God with God's word. Thank the Lord for all the traveling blessings. Yet, even though there was planning to stay a couple of days more over there, in the providence of God, sometimes we need to alter the planning. I know nothing will happen to a child of God. Nothing happens accidental or by chance. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Praise God. We had a wonderful time over there, having the fellowship with the people of God, and got time to witness many of the dear ones, those who came for the wedding. And as I was giving the message, I conveyed all of your wishes and prayer to Will and Maria. Thank you. This is a glorious day, the great day. The world killed Jesus one more time because the world celebrated Good Friday, Saturday, maybe this Sunday, tomorrow as holy days. Not as holy, rather, their vacation days. We are not set to crucify Christ again. Rather, the Bible says we deny ourselves. We take up our cross and we need to crucify ourselves. Instead, the world crucify Christ again. We have that great verse in the Bible, John chapter 1, verse 11 onwards. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. The great event, Christ came to this world. He came as a perfect man. He came as the very perfect God. He came to fulfill the law. He came to be an example. He came to this world to become a faithful high priest. But the greatest, he came to die our sins. But there is a dark tragedy. The people did not receive him because of unbelief. But praise God, the bright opportunity God hath given, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. We rejoice because we are the children of God. We consider today as the Easter Sunday, the Lord's Day. Even though we may not see Sunday is called as the Lord's Day in the Bible, except one reference in John, book of Revelation chapter 1. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That reference may be speaking about the Lord's day yet to come. Lord's day in the scripture, the day of the Lord speaks, the visitation of God. God visits his people, the faithful with the reward, and unfaithful with judgment. Apart from that, all through the New Testament, we see the first day of the week, Sunday. Well, there is not a mistake. Every day is Lord's Day. Sunday is Lord's Day. Yes? Great. And today is the great Easter Sunday. While I was there in Cain, I met Brother Gordon's younger brother. He came from Canada. I had almost 1 hour talk with him. He doesn't believe Jesus is the Son of God. And he doesn't believe in sin. So I said to him, you don't have to believe in sin, but you go through the Bible, you find the word curse and shame. Adam disobeyed God and became a curse. And Christ became our curse. Cursed is the man who hangeth upon the tree. They were in shame, but Christ became our shame for us. Then I said, I may not be able to win you by argument, but I present the truth to you that you need to repent and come to the Lord and receive Jesus in your heart. I wholeheartedly believe God's word will not be in vain. One of these days, he will come to the Lord. Yes. As the world celebrates Easter Sunday, as you heard, because of the empty tomb, there are so many tombs which are very famous. One of the seven modern wonders of the world is Taj Mahal in Agra, in India. The Taj Mahal is very famous because who is in the grave? That is a grave. There are so many graves are very famous because who is in the grave? But there is only one grave is famous because who is not there? The tomb of Jesus is empty, very empty. While I was reading the passage, I focused the attention on John chapter 19 about the burial of Jesus Christ. We heard about the great burials took place. A very example we find, or incident we could remember, months before Queen Elizabeth of England and her burial. If you watch the media, you could see thousands and thousands of people waited in queue to participate or to see her body. And the great valuable diamonds, rubies, beyond our explanation, laid on her coffin of her. But when our Jesus Christ, the very unique one, buried, we don't read such pomp, such great things. That was true when he born also. When he born, there was none to celebrate. Did not invite many, only few shepherds, the wise men, not many. Even though the scribes and the Pharisees, the Jewish people very near to his birth, Bethlehem, they did not take a step to come and worship the King of the Jews. That was true while Christ buried also. Today, people are searching Christ maybe in December at Bethlehem. Maybe they are searching Christ at River Jordan. Maybe searching in the wilderness. Some may be searching Christ on the cross. Maybe some, as we read, near the grave. Praise God. Our Savior is none of these places. He is exalted and seated on the right hand of the Father. Praise God. Seek those things which are above. Our Savior, our Jesus Christ is no more in Bethlehem. No more in the Jordan. No more in the wilderness. No more on the cross. Yes, He is where? On the right hand of the Father. On the right hand of the Father. We read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, as Paul was explaining the greatness and the exaltation of Jesus Christ, God hath given Him and exalted Him and given Him a name above all the names. Above all the names. You can name any name. You put any name of any sickness. You put any name of the famous individuals. Any name. But the name of Christ is above any name. Any name. Amen. I heard a very real incident of a pastor served the Lord with his family in Mumbai. He suffered typhoid 3 times. The 3rd time the typhoid was very serious. The people of God came and prayed, but the sickness is not going down. Not going down. He's a very friend of ours. He stays nearby in Kerala. But a ordinary individual, ordinary man, once with his wife visited him as he was in the sick bed. He read the passage before the pastor, Ephesians chapter 1, and asked him a question. Do you believe the name of Jesus Christ is above the name of typhoid? He said, you don't believe that 3 individuals prayed over there that very moment God healed him. Any name we could tell, but the name of Jesus Christ is above all the names. Psalm number 8, Lord, thy name is excellent above all the earth. We have a name, the name of Jesus Christ. So I was just going through that burial. There was no one. Even though Christ, the unique one in his birth, in his life, in his ministry, even in his death, in the burial, unique, we cannot compare with anyone. When we read John chapter 19, we see the passage is very familiar. Chapter 19, verse 38 to 42, we could see 2 individuals came to Pilate, the Joseph of Arimathea, and the secret believer, Nicodemus, right? Yes. They gave their all to Jesus. They gave their all to Jesus. Until that time, they were very secret believers. The religion may not be permitted them to come forward. But there came a time, openly, they witnessed and said, we are going to identify with Jesus Christ. Great. Friends, there comes the time we could tell, we are with Christ. Read that passage, that will thrill our hearts. Joseph and Nicodemus did not come with empty hand. They gave their wealth. They gave their wealth. History says Joseph was the third rich person in Israel in those days, richest individual. And he came to the Lord and gave the riches. What did we give to the Lord? As we celebrated Good Friday or burial, Easter Sunday, go through that passage and read. Not only they were open and they gave their wealth, but also they gave it their strength. These two were very elderly people, old people. Imagine they came and asked the body of Jesus. Bible is not saying that they came with the servants. No. These two came and took the body of Jesus and buried. They gave their physical strength to the Lord. Physical strength to the Lord. The Bible says it was just prior to the Sabbath. You know, Sabbath was very important for the people of Israel. One way or another way is a comfort day. But Joseph and Nicodemus did not wait for their comfort. Rather, they came open and they worked for the Lord. Yes. And I could explain so many things. Joseph gave his graveyard or grave to Jesus Christ. In those days, such a grave could be remembered by the people, by their families. So they gave their future legacy to Jesus Christ. Friends, when we read the scripture portions, are we willing to give to our Jesus Christ a public confession? Our wealth, our physical strength, our comfort zone, even our glory. Great. Then we were reading that great passage, John chapter 20, about the appearance of the risen Christ. God raised Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, the last benediction we read. Now the God of peace raised Christ. God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We read that same truth in many of the passages. But Jesus Christ himself raised from the dead, because he said, I am the life and the resurrection. He raised. We read in Romans chapter 1, Christ is raised according to the Spirit of holiness. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to die. He fulfilled the mission or the great work the Father assigned to him. On the cross, he said, it is finished. Then, Father raised him. Why did God raise his son Jesus Christ? We see in the scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, he is raised for our justification. He is raised for our salvation. Romans chapter 10, the famous passage, believe in the person Jesus Christ, confess. What do you have to tell? That God raised Christ. It is an essential truth for the people of God to acknowledge the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We read in the book of Romans chapter 14 verse 9, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he is declared as the Lord, the Master. Romans chapter 1, he is declared as the Son of God by the resurrection. Acts chapter 17, we read in verse 31, because of his resurrection, he is the judge, worthy to be judged all the time. Well, great things. We sang that song, Hallelujah, as the very first song. In our place, the people say, as they come like this, or public meetings, three Hallelujahs together. Even though the people don't say Hallelujah, the pastor will be saying Hallelujahs, and the people will repeatedly say Hallelujah. I said, you need to tell Hallelujah four times. Because in the Bible, Revelation chapter 19, we read, Hallelujah is recorded four times. That is only heavenly language. People speak everywhere, I think all the languages, Hallelujah, 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 praise. Yes. Why we should say Hallelujah? We should say Hallelujah because Jesus is the Creator. We must say Hallelujah because Jesus is the Redeemer. We say Hallelujah because Jesus is the righteous judge. And we say Hallelujah because he is the King of the Kings. It is not just saying Hallelujah. And Acts chapter 17, 31, Christ is worthy to judge the people because God raised him. That is the hope of the Christians. Great hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great resurrection chapter. Because Christ raised from the dead, we to have a great hope that even though we die, we will be raised. That is the greatest hope of every Christian. So the death of Jesus Christ is very important. And the resurrection of Christ is very important. Very, very important. But often, we ignore the ministry of Christ at present. The earthly ministry of Christ, the substitutionary death of Christ, all very important. But the same way, the present ministry of Christ is also very, very important. Very important. Christ said, it is expedient for me to go. It is better for me to go. Because he went, he could send the Holy Spirit. Because he went back to heaven, he could send the spiritual gifts. Because he went to heaven, he could become the head of the church. So there are so many blessings. We must be very aware of the present ministry of Jesus Christ in our lives and in the church. What the resurrected Christ will give to us. Turn to the book of John. I wanted to bring your attention at least a few things. Lack of time, I'm not going to read it. John chapter 20. And when we read verse 11 onwards, up to verse 22, we could see the reason Christ gives us. Number one, comfort. The risen Christ gives us comfort. All the writers or the gospel writers recorded the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his appearance to the different individuals. Here in John chapter 20 verse 9, the people were ignorant about the teachings of the scripture. They did not believe the words of Christ that he will be raised. So all of them went their own way. Instead of waiting over there to see the resurrected Christ, they went their own way. Sometimes it will be true. We expect things, did not work out, we will go our own ways. Then we could see verse 10, the disciples went away again unto their own home. A very tragic statement. They're supposed to be with Jesus Christ. Everybody went when Christ was on the cross. Some looked very far and beat on their chest. Nothing going to work out unless we are with Christ. Because Jesus called these disciples that he may be with them. It is not only to just for the gospel evangelization, but one of the purposes of the selecting of the disciples was that he may be with them. It was not necessary for the disciples to go. They could be there. That happened to Peter when we read in the other passages too. But something happened in verse 11. Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, weeping, weeping. There was no comfort in her life. But praise the Lord, the resurrected Christ appeared to Mary and comforted her. Our God is the God of comfort. No one in the world gives us comfort. We find three comforts basically in the scripture. Philippians, comfort of love. God loved us. Sent his son Jesus Christ. Christ loved us and gave his only son. Christ died us and given his life. And the fruit of spirit is love. Yes. We are comforted because we serve the very God who loves us. Paul explained in the book of Corinthians that he is the God of comfort. Why the Lord comforted us? We may be comfort others in their distress, in their struggle. Every theology in the scripture is for our practical aspect. For our practical things. God, the risen Christ, hath given comfort. No wonder Jesus said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me and believe in my Father. A great passage of the scripture. Comfort can be obtained only in the resurrected Lord. Why? Because he defeated the devil. He defeated Satan. Yes, he overcame sin. And he is victorious. Therefore, Romans chapter 8 verse 1. No judgment to them that are in Jesus Christ. Comfort. If you are a troubled individual today, I assure you, there is an individual who can give you absolute comfort. Total comfort. As we were in the airport yesterday, one dear brother came to me and said, we were sitting there, we had a small devotion on Tuesday night. I was explaining the passage. There were so many people came. And I was explaining from Gospel Luke. Then we did not see much, even though we stayed in the same compound. He's a man from Lebanon, having the family with three children. As we were there yesterday waiting for the flight, he came and hold me and said, "Brother, the word which you said really changed my life, because that was the words of comfort. Only the risen Savior can give the comfort in our life. Not just a comfort, lasting comfort. Whatever the things comes contrary to us, we can rely upon Jesus and we can obtain the comfort. May the Lord comfort our hearts. The second truth we find, the risen Christ gives us in John chapter 20 verse 19. And he came in the midst of the people the first day of the week, because the people were hiding the fear of the Jewish people. The fear of man is a snare. We should not fear anyone except the Lord. Fear the Lord. As a Christian, we don't have to fear anyone, because God hath given the spirit of boldness. And Jesus came in the midst of them and said, "Peace be unto you." The risen Christ gives us what? Peace. Peace. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. God is the author of peace. Philippians chapter 4. Now the God of peace. Jesus Christ is the author of the peace. John chapter 14. "I give my peace unto you." There was nothing to give to the disciples. He didn't have anything. No. But he given something. The peace. He giveth what? Given the peace to the disciples. "I give my peace." And you remember Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy and peace. The peace which we have is from the triune God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. See, God's word is greater than my word about God. God's word is greater than my word about God's word. That is the reason the preachers are quoting the scripture references. God's word is great. When the preacher stands on the pulpit and proclaim, they know the source of the scripture is from God. The message which we preach is absolutely secure because of the source, because of the result, because of the sustaining power. Christ hath given the peace for his people. The peace that passeth all understanding, the tranquility of the mind. We are in the disturbed world. No peace, nowhere, restless. But praise God, only the Christians have the peace of mind. Yeah, who given that one? The resurrected Christ. The resurrected Christ hath given peace. Have you experienced the peace that is in Jesus Christ? He gives you the peace. There are three important words: grace, mercy, and peace. Mercy for the pardoning of our sin. And the grace is for tomorrow. But peace is for today. Today. let the child of God, let the children of God, let the saints of God live in peace. Whatever happens, I say, we could say, what? All things work together for good to them that love God, even to them that are called according to his purpose. Yes, the resurrected Christ given us comfort, peace. Verse 20 says, he hath given the gladness. The last part of John chapter 20, verse 20 says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord gives gladness in our hearts. The gladness, the joy. Jesus said what? I came to give you joy. Joy. The very overwhelming joy. No wonder Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord. Always I say what? Rejoice. And the gladness of the heart, or gladness in our heart, is because of the risen Christ. He hath given the gladness, the joy, overwhelming joy, abundance joy. I know the time is up. Let us see the next great thing the risen Christ hath given. Look at that verse 21. Often we fail in that. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. What is the risen Christ given you? The very purpose in life, a very mission in your life. We are turned from idols to God to serve the true and the living God. We are turned to God from idols. Why? To serve the true and the living God. Purpose can be attained. The purpose in life can be truly known. Only we see the resurrected Christ. He said, as my Father send you, I send you. I sent you. Worship reveals the mission. When Isaiah saw the Lord highly lifted up, when Uzziah died, sometimes all the earthly things may pass it away. Remember, still Christ is on the throne. He is on the throne. Because Isaiah and Uzziah were very good friends. When Uzziah died, Isaiah thought, nobody is there to take care of my people. But that was the time Isaiah saw the Lord is there. Even all the earthly attachment has gone, still God is on the throne. He can take care of you. In that passage, as you read it, you will understand the message God hath given to Isaiah, who will go for me? Isaiah yielded and said, I will go. This Sunday, the glorious Sunday, the Lord's Day, did you recognize the mission which God assigned for you? Ask to the Lord, Lord, where you are going to put me in your great plan. God has a plan for you. Great plan. And ask to the Lord, there is a mission. So the risen Christ hath given the very comfort, peace, gladness, purpose, and last, verse 22 and 23, he gave the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I know the contextual interpretation are different. I don't want to come into that. Yet, he given the Holy Spirit. He knew he is going back. The people has to, disciples has to live. And they have to proclaim the gospel. That is only by the Holy Spirit. Christian life can be done or can be only by the strength of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one who gives the common grace, such as fruits, seasons, rain and sunshine. He is the one who convicts about sin, unbelief, and judgment. John chapter 16. He is the one who brings regeneration to our hearts. He is the one who baptizes us and places us into the body of Christ. Holy Spirit is the one who seals us. But he also does another work. He fills our hearts. He controls our lives. Controls our life. Acknowledge the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because Christ hath given the blessed Holy Spirit for us. If I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. He will reveal the truth. He will fulfill his desire in our life. May the Lord bless us as we celebrate this Easter Sunday. Whatever the things may be there, focus upon Jesus Christ, because he gives us the very comfort. He gives us the peace, the gladness, purpose, and mission. This is not a fake story. This is the true incident. Jesus came into this world. Many could say, I don't believe in Jesus. Many may deny. But whether deny or not, the truth is truth. Truth is truth. What is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the life. Yes. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All are sinners, but Christ died for the sinners. Who knew no sin became sin for us. Bear our sins on his body, on the cross, buried, then resurrected on the third day. What for? That you could experience the great salvation. You could experience the great forgiveness. You could experience the reconciliation with God and live a hope, live a pleasant, God-pleasing life. So God has a great desire concerning us. Fulfill that one. May the Lord richly bless us as we yield our life to the risen Christ. We have a chorus, he lives, he lives. Christ lives in my life. Yes, he lives. Let Christ live in our heart richly. Let the risen Christ live in our home, in our churches, that we may reveal him, display him. May his grace be upon each one. If anyone do not know Jesus Christ, I urge you, put your faith in Christ, that you may be saved. God bless you. Thank you. Please.